The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Chaboy.
I'm Griffin, the youngest brother of Travis. Okay, Chaboy.
Thank you.
I don't understand. Can you walk me through this forest that I all of a sudden find myself?
Here's the thing, Griffin.
Okay.
You know, I'm working on this whole, you know, working on a new me for 30, you know?
Yeah.
And I decided to reinvent myself as a hip-hop personality.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say, like, a hip-hop, like, music star or anything, because I have, like, zero musical talent. But I just want to be, like, that dude who danced with the umbrella in the Andre 3000 videos.
and kids love that motherfucker.
They love that Farnsworth bastard.
Yeah.
Now, can you walk me through kind of a... I find myself in kind of a spelling quandary. Can you walk me through?
Yeah, thank you, Justin. It's C-H apostrophe A apostrophe B-O-I.
Okay.
It's your boy. From the context, it's your boy.
Now, at first blush, you might think it's boy, but it's really just one fluid motion, mm-hmm. like throwing a baseball.
Chaboy. Okay. There might be an umlaut in there, too. I haven't decided yet. I've got a marketing team working on it. Umlauts are really big right now.
Kids fucking love umlauts, and they love people dancing with umbrellas.
Fucking love people dancing with umlauts. That'd be a great Paula Abdul video, just her dancing with an umlaut.
Yeah, or a cartoon cat. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Chaboy.
Griffin, it sounded like you said Franksgiving.
It did sound like you said Franksgiving.
Listen, I've been working with my own marketing team.
Was that intentional?
I've been working with my own marketing team about how to sex up.
Are you gonna eat a bunch of hot dogs tomorrow?
How to sex up Thanksgiving, and I think I've come up with the perfect solution.
Tell me.
We reinvent it as a hip-hop personality called Franksgiving.
Okay, let me throw this out, because this is my topical humor joke that I alluded to before we began the recording.
Oh good, I've been on pins and needles.
Ahem. With Colorado legalizing marijuana, more like Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
I like it.
Thank you.
So
I like it. My, with what's going on at Tiananmen Square, more like Thanksgiving. Is that still?
That is not. I don't think that's still an issue.
Mm.
Now, here is my hip-hop joke personality that I have.
Okay. None of these are jokes so far, but go on.
Okay. It's...
You didn't have a follow-through for that, did you?
It's Shitty Tim.
Oh, man.
Pardon?
It's a character that I made his name is Shitty Tim.
Does he have any distinguishing characteristics at all?
He's named Shitty Tim, and he has...
Okay. Is it ironic at all? Like, is he in fact really awesome and named Steve?
He has a really... Yeah, I'm not good at this. Like you got, he has a really big butt. Is that funny?
But not where you'd picture it.
I'm 32. Just, I don't know.
Is there an outside chance that he stinks?
Yeah. Why? Why would he?
Like shit.
Why would? I didn't mean. Let's just answer a question. I'll do it in the Shitty Tim voice. That I've been making up lately. About a month ago, I responded to a woman's Craigslist ad looking for a virgin man, i.e. 18 and older, to have sex with.
That's done. Done.
Check, please.
Bye.
I'm not a virgin, but it's been about 3.5 years since the last time I had sex. So I responded to the ad anyway. She came over to my house a couple days after that, and we hooked up. Now, here's my problem. We've been out about 3 times after this, and I'm starting to develop real feelings for her. I know that it won't work if it's built on a lie, but she has a wonderful personality and could see myself in a long-term relationship with her. What do I do?
Oh, man.
Okay, there's a lot.
Some layers.
There's a lot of moving parts in this Rube Goldberg machine.
I'd like to start with the top layer, which is, yes, yes, you should tell her. If you want to build a relationship with this woman, you should tell her, because you're right. Your instincts are right.
Yes.
And you may, I mean, it may be irreparable. That's a pretty big thing. That's kind of the biggest.
But it's better for it to be, if it's irreparable, it's better to get it out now.
Right.
Than, like, 9 months from now, you know, I don't know, some friend telling a story about, you know, her, about this wild night in college or something, and then she finds out, and it's like, well, we've been living a lie for 9 months as opposed to 3 days.
Right. You don't want to end up like this one guy I know and have to pretend to really like Barbara Streisand movies for 3 years because
that's the worst.
That was the way you got the relationship going.
Oh, you! What you also don't want to happen is to get your whole head cut off and buried in her fucking yard.
Why are you dating a praying mantis?
What?
This is a good question, because now let's go to a deeper layer.
Okay, which is every sentence in this email is the craziest thing I've ever... She wants a virgin man, i.e. 18 years or older.
She's a witch, yeah, she's a witch,
I should,
right?
Fucking... Definitely hope so.
So she's a bitch, right? So she's like fully Gozer, right? I mean, she's Gozer, basically. Just so we're clear.
She's looking for the keymaster to her gatekeeper.
Right.
Let's also talk about the fact that she wanted to fuck a sweet, sweet, innocent porcelain doll of a fresh-faced boy, and you were not a virgin. You had dipped it before.
But that's what she was saying. Like if you met up and immediately had sex, she just wanted to deflower a dude, right?
These are all good and important and awful questions.
But then to say okay, listen, question asker, I'm not trying to judge, but to say that her whole deal was to look for a dude to deflower off the internet, and now you're developing real feelings for her? It's like, man, maybe you need to really examine the second half of the sentence I just said.
Because I don't think that she... I mean, that doesn't sound like what she wants.
Yeah.
I think she just wants to...
She's really looking to settle down. If so, she'd be on Match.com instead of skeevy Craigslist.
Yeah, I think she's just going back to make sure you're, like, super deflowered. Like, she's going to make sure she got every last petal off of you. Like, what about your anal virginity? I'll take that next. I want to get all of it. Ass to mouth. Here we go.
What's up with your knee pits? Haven't seen those yet.
Gonna fuck those.
Lube them up.
Put that weird monkey toe in me. Come on, come on, shitty Tim. Put that little toe in me. I want to fuck all your toes one by one. Stock up on calcium. This is cramp inducing.
All of this is thoroughly erotic, but you need to keep your heart 3 stacks, because this, I don't know about this.
I don't know that she's looking for this. I bet he didn't listen to the whole Craigslist. He said 18 and older. I bet it's a little more like 18 to 19 is how the ad read. I don't want anybody. I don't want a bunch of old meat. She wants a fresh plate.
If you can actually come to me the night before your 18th birthday, and then we can ring it in style this second.
And please don't tell any loved ones where you've gone or somewhere where they can track you. That would be great.
Yeah, this is going to be... Basically, what we want is a 128-hour setup.
I need to resurrect my fallen lord.
How much blood do you have in you?
Hey, let's...
Are you willing to give?
Let's be, like, totally honest that if you... responded to a Craigslist from someone looking to consume an 18-year-old virgin, maybe instead of developing feelings, you should be busy counting your lucky stars that you have a head attached to your body.
And that all your blood in
your
that
blood
head.
Blood is not staining
like
a Motel 6 right now.
Movie from the 80s where, like, he goes and they go to, like, collect his blood, and they're like, but it's not working. Are you really a virgin? And he's like, well, it's been 3.5 years. Musical Sting. You know, it's like... This is a setup for
I can't believe this fucking panned out for this dude.
I know.
I can't believe that really went on Craigslist, and Craigslist was like, hey, I want to fuck you, shitty Tim. And then he was like, okay. And then he fucked Craigslist, and now he's alive. Like, none of the... Maybe three of those things could happen, but not all of them.
It's got to balance out until, like, 3 years from now, like, an asteroid falls on him or something. Just as, like, it's like Final Destination. You know, he death missed him, and now they'll be hunting him for the rest of his life.
I sold my bed on Craigslist. I was selling it for $200. This woman showed up. She's like, oh, nice, nice. How about $100? So I kind of got fucked by Craigslist in a way.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Did she give you a hundo?
She gave me a hard sell for a hundo. She was just coming out of a divorce. Things were not doing great, and she was sitting on my bed, and I was extraordinarily uncomfortable.
She's sitting on her bed, and she's like, hey, this got a good spring to it. What's your virginity sitch right now?
Mm-hmm. Where are you at as far as your flower?
Where's the flower at? Griffin, do you have any Yahoos for us?
I got a few, yeah. How about this one? It was... It was sent in by Robert Chachere. It's fun to look at and to say. It's asked by Yahoo Answers user iCorpseGrinder. Who asks, what happens if you give a horse marijuana? Some friends of my brother's gave a horse an ounce of marijuana, and now the horse is just laying on the floor. Could the marijuana kill the horse? I'm seriously concerned. He hasn't gotten up in a while, but I know he's alive.
Well, one, what happens is you've wasted a bunch of sticky weed.
No.
But I'm assuming this question takes place in Colorado.
Where it's one just of the, like falling out of people's pockets.
It's just falling out of people's pockets and butts.
Is it an accidental thing? Because I knew a dog in college that ate a bag of weed. It's like just the most chill dog. Or was this like they like rolled a carrot in some honey and then dipped it in the weed and tossed it to the horse?
This def sounds like funsies.
Okay.
This sounds like... honestly, like when you think of any time that a horse riding disaster takes place, it's usually because the horse gets so fucking... crazy riled up when that horse bucked Christopher Reeves over that fence and basically, you know, paralyzed him forever. It was probably because he was like going fucking buck wild because he had a man riding on him,
right?
Not just any man.
If he had just rolled him a sweet joint,
I think if we can mellow these horses out, then we could really get something going.
Okay, how was the marijuana administered to the horse? Come on, Black Beauty. Just dip in.
Come on, Mr. Ed.
Don't be a pussy.
Don't be a pussy, Black Beauty.
With your powerful haunches.
Bring those powerful haunches over here and use them to smoke this herb.
They had to create something called horse tranquilizer. Like, it's specially designed because a horse was so powerful that a normal tranquilizer couldn't take it out. And you think that, like, an ounce of weed and the horse is just like, I'm never getting up again.
I'm done.
Well, maybe I read this question wrong. Maybe it's asking about horse marijuana.
Oh.
What happens if you give a... horse marijuana.
See, that makes a lot more sense. What
does it?
Why are we using our? Who are these teens?
Right.
Who are these teens? That do you know where I buy drugs? Rite Aid. I have no idea where to get drugs. I don't know how to get people. I say this on
you
the
actually
show
just go behind the Rite Aid, and there's a guy.
There probably is
called,
a guy.
There's a place called Wrong Aid.
I don't know where to get, like, I don't know where to find drugs. And these kids have such a solid supply of them that they're giving them to horses.
Yeah.
It makes me so angry.
I mean, how do you think they do in, like, Denver? In Denver, no joke, I bet everybody has just pockets fattened with that. Dank Kush.
I give it 6 months before horse weeding is like a professional sport in Denver.
It's how high can you get a living horse? Now that caveat is so vital.
Don't let,
because anybody can just like feed a horse a bunch of weed.
I want you guys to know I almost said horse stoning, but then I thought that that might sound like throwing rocks at horses.
If this show is devoted to anything, it's the protection and preservation and not killing of horses.
It's been like Jonathan Swift level of like irony up to this point. You know, we talk about killing horses because we don't want to kill horses.
Yeah, but the New York Times told me that the irony is bad and that we should live without it from now on. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that I think horses are just beautiful and majestic. Like,
yeah, did I use the right word there? Did Jonathan Swift write with irony?
No, it's a little satire, but you're almost there. You know, if I see someone using glue, I look at them like they're at Coney 2012. Like, I have no patience for it. Can we stop melting them?
I look at them like they're Coney 2013, which is the sequel.
What if you made a horse sniff glue to get high?
Wait a minute.
So cool.
Oh my god, that's terrible, Travis.
Sniff your brother.
That's not going to be a mellow high. That is going to be a rough journey that you're going to go on. Hey, I just broke up with my boyfriend of 12 years today. Naturally, I'm pretty devastated. This isn't me, it's a question.
Oh, okay.
Naturally, I'm pretty devastated. It has been over 12 years since I've been dumped. I have no idea what to do right now, aside from some really heavy drinking. All our close friends are mutual, so I don't have anyone I can feel I can entirely discuss the subject with without it turning to idle gossip. Brothers, can you put this in perspective? Find me a silver lining, because I just cannot find one. And help me figure out how to feel not so toxic towards my ex-boyfriend. If the subject matter is too depressing, I have no problems with you turning this into a hilarious goof. That's from Gutted in Toronto.
Listen, because I've been doing a lot of soul searching over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And here's the main point. The biggest point to take away is that what's the silver lining? It's that you're still alive with a bright future and a whole new world in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it seems bad in 12 years. Yeah, like it's a massive scale, but you still have so much time left in this world. Like, you still have your whole life to live.
Got it in Toronto. Any day above the grass, baby.
Right?
Any day above the grass.
Quarter mile at a time.
Quarter mile at a time. Got to play till the whistle blows. Here, let me give you a silver lining. Right now, I stress about work. I stress about the show I'm directing. I stress about how I'm eating too much, how I need to exercise more, how I need to get healthier, how I need to have better relationships with people. Do you have that that rare, rare gift that only comes around when something really terrible happens to you, that you don't have to give a solitary fuck about anything?
Oh, yeah.
You can just treat... Have you ever always wanted to have a Pop-Tart with butter on it? Fucking have it. You're healing right now. Get a big bite of that recovery sandwich. And by recovery sandwich, I literally mean a giant sandwich, like a meatball sub.
The biggest sandwich, whatever the fuck you want.
Can you make a sandwich out of Pop-Tarts and butter?
Oh my god,
ice cream sandwich that's just like bread and ice cream. Go to town.
Well, don't do that. Sounds fucking awful.
What about a peanut butter Pop-Tart sandwich?
You go on.
Peanut butter between the two Pop-Tarts.
Why don't you just go to fucking Papa John's and eat a pizza like a normal person?
Okay. I mean, you guys were talking about weird sandwiches first.
Listen, and I know that you're worried about harboring a lot of resentment and bitterness towards your ex-boyfriend, but let me tell you something. That's how adults work.
That's completely normal. Listen, when a big event happens, you're going to go one of two ways, really happy or really upset. Like,
children have hope about the future to fuel them. Adults have bitterness. Let your hatred toward him be an engine that helps you to keep moving forward. You have a renewable resource of energy and vigor. All you have to do is think about how much you hate his guts. And look, you're revitalized. Thank you, adulthood. This is way better than kid. You have nothing to worry about. Stop beating yourself up. Stop stressing about needing to feel better, and stop stressing about harboring ill will towards this guy, and focus on the important thing right now, which is taking care of yourself, making yourself happy in the short term. You do it enough in the short term, and I promise you the long-term stuff will figure itself out. Griffin, hit me with a Yahoo. Put it in me.
Oh, whoa. Could we stop and just stop?
Put a Yahoo in me!
How about this Yahoo? It was it was sent in by Ira Ray. Thank you, Ira. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jezebel Terrace, who asks, is it right for a 13-year-old to know how to crump? If I'm 13, is it okay if I know how to crump? My mom told me that it's not very Christian-like or appropriate to do this, but I love to dance. I also love, love, love dancing to hip-hop because it lets me get my feelings out. But my mom says I should stick to sports. Any advice or comments?
I need to look up crump dancing to see if that's a thing.
Travis. Oh, crumping. Mm-hmm. It's like you've never seen a Missy Elliott music video or that one episode of America's Next Top Model where they had the ladies crump and they took pictures of them fucking mid-crump as their faces were all rubberized in beast mode. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. So I laughed at that person for saying that hip-hop dancing is how they get their feelings out. Yeah. And the very top line on the crumping entry of Wikipedia is, the youth who started crumping saw the dance as a way for them to escape gang life and to, quote, release anger, aggression, and frustration positively in a nonviolent way.
I will say this. Every time I've seen someone crump, it looks really violent.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like someone has bees on them and they're trying to kill beetles underneath them.
So they're using the bees to kill the beetles on their body.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're just trying to kill the beetles, but they're distracted by the bees.
Mm-hmm.
That's what crumping looks like to me. But I am 32.
Holy
That's
true. Shit.
Are you watching some videos?
Are you watching like a sick crumping video while we're trying to make a podcast? No,
I'm looking at the history. The root word crump came from the lyrics of a song in the 90s. It is sometimes spelled K-R-U-M-P with...
Yeah, that's how it's spelled here.
No, with periods between it. Which is a...
Oh, so is it an acronym?
It says it's a backronym for Kingdom Radically Uplifted Mighty Praise, presenting crumping as a faith-based art form.
It is. Holy obviously, shit. Much like my brother and me, it is a faith-based art form.
Crumping was created by two dancers, Cesar Tight Eyes Willis and Joe Artis Big Mijo Ratty.
Oh,
now, is Joe Artis has the best name because it's J-O apostrophe capital A... R-T-I-S.
Now, Travis, is that tight eyes or tie-dyes?
Great question. It's tight, space, eyes, with a Z.
Okay.
I don't know how one gets the nickname tight eyes.
Is this Wikipedia entry telling us that we can use crumping as a method of praising our Lord and Savior,
Jesus Christ? They're telling you that it's a way to, like, motivate kids in the school gymnasium.
Mm-hmm. I think that whatever you're doing, maybe it's about praising Jesus. Maybe it's about, like, just being really angry at your dad. The key thing is to have emotion that you bring to it. I believe it was Robert Foolish with P.H. Jones who said, expression is a must in crump because crump is expression.
I don't think I could vent my feelings via crumping in a healthy way. I think if I ever got into a crump off with somebody, it would start out as a very healthy, you know, just pounding it and grinding, and then like it would very quickly turn into me like, good fucking get it! Come get it! And then Griffin, people would be like, hey, stop, cut that out.
Might I suggest clowning, which is the less aggressive predecessor to crumping and was created in 1992 by Thomas Tommy the Clown Johnson in Compton.
That is actually it's funny you bring that up. That is the subject of the episode of America's Next Top Model, of which really? I learned everything and that there is to know about crumping and clowning. You know what sucks about crumping, though, if you're really good at it? Like, it has less practical applications than like the foxtrot. Like, you can't bust that shit out at a wedding, you know?
You can use it to dodge bullets.
I'd rather watch
you can use it to matrix.
Like, I would rather watch someone swing dance than crump at a wedding.
I have a theory that sometimes when you do a crump, it's the crump that you'll need to use to save yourself from a hail of bullets, and every crump move that you crump is specifically designed to help you avoid those bullets when you eventually are shot at.
So it's like very, signs.
Well, it's basically, I was thinking Slumdog Millionaire, but yeah, signs would work too.
I bet like if someone from the past were to like be launched forward in time and see someone crumping, they'd be like, that's the mythical dance to defeat the dragon. Like, it always seems like it has some kind of mystical significance to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always seen somebody crumping and said, that seems significant.
This means something.
Yeah. Is crumping inherently solo, or can you crump with a partner?
There's so much flailing involved. I think if you get more than one hot body in there, then things are gonna get dirty. Things are gonna get rough.
I think you gotta have 6 feet between crumpers. That's why crumping across America never got off the ground, because they would keep punching each other.
You gotta leave room for the holy crump. Because Jesus is in there crumping too, you guys.
Do you think when mankind crumps, God looks down on us and says, yes.
This is the pinnacle of civilization.
They found it.
My creation. Thank you.
It's all led to this. God is watching us crump from a distance. Everybody stop doing wars. These guys over here figured it out. Everyone listen. I'm God.
In case you were wondering why crump is apparently the best dance I've ever heard of, it is this. The first line of the Wikipedia entry for style. There are four primary moves in crump. Jabs, arm swings, chest pops, and stomps. That sounds like the best dance.
That sounds like something I could get on board with.
You remember the bonus boy dance?
Yeah.
That's more or less crump at this point.
So we hope that you've enjoyed learning about crump as much as we've enjoyed learning about crump as we record our show. But believe it or not, we get paid to do this. Money Zone. Griffin, who's this message to?
This particular message? This shit right here?
Yeah, it's popping off right now, and we've got to deliver it hot.
You mean this message that you're talking about now?
Yes, this current message, the one that you're fervently looking up in your email.
Man, did you guys see that latest episode of Saturday Night Live? This episode was sent in by Annie. Thank you, Annie, for sending in this special birthday message for Catherine. Happy birthday, Catherine. Annie says, happy birthday. And then she says that the Dilbert Scott Adams goof is Catherine's favorite goof that we or assumedly anybody has ever done. So if Justin could work it in somehow, that would be great. Justin,
could you lay down some Dilbert goofs?
Can you guys remind me what the Scott Adams goof is?
Dilbert's tied to Pluto because he's got a boner.
I think it was that just Scott Adams just hates women so much, and he just doesn't know what to do. I mean, here we go. Scott Adams hates women so much, he doesn't know what to do with that hate, so instead he turns to crumping to get his misogyny out. Go.
Okay. my pen's almost dry, running out of ink. I can't believe my bitch of a wife forgot to buy more ink at the ink store. My pen's drying up. I hate her. I can't draw flipped up ties. Somebody give me... there we go. I gotta get this energy out somehow. I gotta shake it. I got ink all over me. There's ink all over the room. Why am I still holding the ink container? I'm gonna eat my pen. I wanna hold it between my teeth as I practice my chest pops. That's it. My chest pops aren't good enough. I'm just doing chest pops the rest of the day. Hey, you bitch, get in here. Watch me crump, you whore. I gotta get this to my editor. I'm tired of laying down. Scott Adams.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, I guess. I got another message for Deborah. This one's from Andrea and Mike. Travis, what are we talking about? What's going on for Deborah?
Well, Andrea and Mike want to congratulate Deborah on her new grown-up job as a reporter. She's a rad friend, a brilliant journalist, and a huge My Brother and Me fan, and North Battleford's answer to April O'Neil. They wish that she lived closer, so they could celebrate properly, but the consolation is that they now have a professional to investigate their gruesome murders and or sex scandals, should they occur.
So it's so important to pre-select the investigative reporter that will become obsessed with hunting you across this great land of ours.
What happens if they overturn a gruesome sex scandal?
Oh, no.
What if things get real sloppy in North
Battleford? Ribbled in there. If you'd like to... Now I'm grossed. I'm fully grossed now. But congratulations to you, Deborah. You've worked hard for this. And we hope that someday you get to tell our story, but just not
if we sex murder each other.
If we sex murder each other. If you'd like to have us deliver a special message to somebody you care about, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and we'll get that all sorted out for you.
Jesse Thorne here, proprietor of MaximumFun.org. Look, we had a great time in the Poconos and everything, but there's no way we are forgetting about our annual trip to Lake Arrowhead here in Southern California. So, unless the world ends first by Mayan prophecy, MaxFunCon West will be held May 31st through June 2nd, 2013. Join us for a showcase of elite stand-up comedy performers in the woods, plus informative classes and talks from some of the best creative minds in the nation. If you've been to MaxFunCon before, get ready to reunite with your old friends. And if you're a first-timer, get ready to make a whole ton of new ones. Registration will open up on Black Friday, November 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving, at MaxFunCon.com. It's basically the greatest holiday present anyone could ever get. Act fast. MaxFunCon pretty much always sells out, and we don't expect this year to be any different. So, Black Friday at MaxFunCon.com.
Hey guys, I currently rent a small house within a bigger suburban neighborhood, and I've been renting for some time. It's a great place, but in front of it is this big pecan tree right over my driveway. This morning, guys, this is a long question, but please stick with me. This morning, I saw a little bit older Chinese woman walking around down the street. Turns out she was stealing my nuts from my yard. When I confronted her about what she was doing, she simply sort of giggled and sort of motioned the bag towards me. This went on for a minute or two, me asking what she was doing, and was obviously not communicating that she was bagging my nuts, and it was weird. Brothers, did I do the right thing to confront me? She obviously wasn't an English-speaking woman, but she was stealing stuff from my yard. Would it be different if it was a lemon or apple tree? Or is it the same level of sin if it was a bunch of kids that didn't know better, and that's from Nutty in Houston?
I'm so confused.
So basically, is the fruit from a tree that falls into your yard, is it fair game for people to just like
front yard or backyard
snatch up and get the vitamins?
From what I've always understood is if it grows in your yard and has juice in it, then it is your property. If there's juice, let it be. I couldn't make that right. Yeah, I guess. But nuts, I think, are pretty much fair game because nuts are pretty much like leaves, you know? They're just like a part of the tree, and it's weird that we eat them in the first place.
Yeah, because where do you draw the line? Like, some kids coming and throwing acorns at each other, and you're like, hey, those are my acorns.
That said, pecan halves at my local HEB are like $9 for a half-pound bag. So she is basically taking money from you.
Oh, yes.
That's your money. You probably, like, you water that pecan tree from a sapling.
Yeah.
So you could have these pecans. So you can have the protein and the unsaturated fats. So you could keep yourself from getting gallstones.
Now, does it matter?
Question, but here's my question, you guys.
Yeah.
Then why isn't he out there collecting the nuts himself?
That is a great question. Well, maybe he's busy, you know?
Well, then he doesn't get to complain about someone else taking the nuts when they're sitting on the ground just, like, rot. Now, if she's, like, scaled your tree and picking them from the tree, that's bullshit.
Okay, but if you start washing your car, but then you go inside because Earth Girls Are Easy is on TBS, nobody can fucking come steal your car.
Yeah, it's not different. Your car isn't scattered around your yard. And, yes, someone would steal your car if it was scattered around your yard.
In pieces, you mean? Sure. Somebody, like, finds a rear view mirror and just takes it?
I mean, if you want to get specific, yes.
This irks me. Because I think it does definitely matter that it's an older Chinese woman that's doing it. Because if it was a bunch of kids, you could just shout them out. You could shout them off your yard. Get off my yard, those are my pecans, you little shits. But you can't do that to somebody who's older than you.
That's true, because and someone who's another nationality for me.
You can't do it to somebody who's more Chinese than you are.
If someone is more Chinese than me, and all, or any nationality, yeah. more Asian, more Italian, and older than me, I assume that if I cross them, they will put a curse on me. Mm-hmm. Maybe wow. an Italian curse.
Until you die.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't want
to. Is not that worth, great.
No, is that not worth, like,
saying becomes? Out loud on the internet?
What? That I'm that you afraid think anyone who's not white is going to put a curse on me? I don't think that's so wrong. I don't think that. I think that's a pretty
common assumption.
I'm just afraid
he's going to sip his army of Mogwai on me and not let him get the nuts.
I can't help it that I was raised in an era of cinema in which old Chinese men, all they did was sell you kindly things that would turn into monsters, and all the Indian men were actually Fisher Stevens in brown face. Like, I don't... this was the age... Fault. This was the era of cinema that I can't...
This puzzle box looks like a lot of fun. Oh, it's a portal to a sex pain dimension? Thanks. Thank you. I wanted to get my flesh ripped with hooks. This is fun.
I can't help it that... I also think that all old people should climb into cocoons...
Yeah,
and they'll be rejuvenated. Like that's my era. That's my baggage. That's my load to carry.
I was on a walk with my Jeep the other day, and we came across some pecan trees in a park, and there was just pecans laying on the ground. And this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. I don't know why. Maybe I was trying to impress her, but I just picked one up off the ground and shucked it, and I ate the sweet nuts inside, just off the ground. Guys,
what the fuck, Yul Gibbons? How did you identify a pecan from sight?
Because one was already cracked, and I could see like the wrinkle nut inside. And normal nuts aren't wrinkled. You know that's a pecan. And so I just ate it, and it tasted like a pecan, and then I knew I was in the clear.
Jesus Christ, Griffin.
I went on a yum voyage. I would suggest that everybody do it. Yeah, because
you were probably tripping on like deadly nightshade or something.
Yeah.
Also, there was an old woman who was wandering around picking them up, so I figured it was probably safe for consumption.
Well, that's fine.
If her old-ass constitution can handle what those nuts are going to do when they ravage her body, I imagine that I probably could, too.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. Hey, Griffin, do you have a Yahoo that you want to drop on us? Because I got another question, if not.
Yeah, sure. This one was sent in by Andrew Kaplan. Thank you, Andrew. It's by Yahoo Answers user The Maverick, who asks, question on old man strength. Is there a science behind this? You know, those old guys between the ages of 40 and 50 who look weak, but when you wrestle them or box them, it feels like you're going against an animal. They may not be able to bench press or squat a whole lot, but they are still incredibly powerful.
How often is this coming up in this gentleman's life?
Why is this such an issue for you that you have to ask Yahoo about? You keep trying to... Is this like a... I don't think that this guy just fights people. I think he just fights old men. He's like, I can get this one. Oh, yeah. I got this guy. Guys, come watch. Come watch you do this. I'm going to get him.
I'm going to beat up Mimo. Mimo is what he calls his poppy.
Is he just trying to fight his own poppy?
Aren't we all?
They say that man's greatest struggle in life is to best his own father. This guy is vaulting over that goal.
Right.
He tried going after
He's hunting the most dangerous game.
The most dangerous and most satisfying game.
It's poppy.
They call it the greatest generation because when you beat the shit out of one of them, you're like, oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, this is going down great.
You beat Hitler, and I beat you, so by association, I just beat the shit out of Hitler.
That's why the final level of Punch-Out is just you fighting Jack LaLanne.
Uh-huh.
Just get... who was the one who had the juicer? I bet I could have taken that guy.
King Hippo.
Jack LaLanne was King Hippo?
It was the juice man. You know, the juice man? Jay Cordish.
Sells horse marijuana?
Jay Cordish is the juice man. Maybe Jack Lane did a juicer too, though. I can't remember.
I don't understand. I don't understand how it happened because I'm 25. I'm 6 months into 25 now, and I feel like I'm fucking 88 years old. Like, yeah. My body has already started. It's already peaked and has already started decomposing. I don't know how these fucking guys do it.
The old men?
The old steroids. The olders.
Yeah, I don't have any energy right now. How are they getting up and fighting people?
Yeah.
I bet there's a certain kick of energy that comes from, like, knowing that you've got nothing left to prove. Like, you know, you're on the slow descent. So, like, what are you afraid of? You're going to break a bone? You're going to die? Like, they have the fear of death.
But they should, because they're more likely to do those things than we are. If I get punched in the arm, I'm probably not going to break every bone in my body. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
If I live long enough, will I eventually stop being afraid of death? Is that the secret?
Yeah.
That they've conquered?
Listen, I also think we need to accept that back in the day, are the poppy age, you know, that generation, they were just more hardcore than we are.
Ooh, interesting. So, they being raised on fighting Hitler and cabbage rations and stuff like that, that made him like wicked, just like crazy tough.
They were basically all Captain America's.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. It's not their age so much as the ground from which their manhood blossomed.
Oh my God! If the fertile soil. If you balance like a 25-year-old dude from like 1940 versus a 25-year-old dude now, it would be like a 25-year-old dude now fighting a baby.
Oh my God, yeah. It would be like, hey, have you read the new Chuck Palahniuk? Ah! And then he would die because he got punched so hard. You stabbed
him with the eyelashes.
Yeah. You looked at me hard. I'm going to live journal this.
You just ripped the filth off your Lucky Strike and just smoked it. Wow, you're a tough guy.
So imagine how bad it will be in like 50 years from now.
Oh, our kids are going to beat the shit out of us. Are you kidding me?
Oh, you think the pendulum swing's going to go the other way?
Oh, my God, yeah. I think that like, fortitude skipped a human generation, or at least an American generation, because, like, my kids are going to have to fight over, you know, rare earth elements against every other country in the universe. And then they are going to be, like, super tough, and then I'm going to be like, hey, do you want some quiche? And then they're going to fucking curb stomp me.
Yeah. Hey, guys, welcome home for Thanksgiving. I made you a fist face.
I just finished beating up Osama bin Laden, too. So
I'm looking forward to the terrorist sequels that we're going to, that genetic cloning is going to bring us. I'm really excited.
Beware! About that. It's Son of Hitler!
It's Pride of Joseph Goebbels.
It is Mega Stalin.
Mega Stalin. I liked it when you made that joke, Trav.
Thank you, Justin. I liked it when you laughed at the joke that I made.
Guys, I'm so thankful for both of you.
Yeah, and all of our jokes that we got going on right now. We're all thankful for each other, but most of all, we're thankful for you for joining us yet again for My Brother, Me. Real quick, got a ton of great presents for our B-Day. We got a joke book sent to us from not great penmanship. I'm going to say Jason is what that looks like. A very kind note in
there.
Are you
sure it's not Jarman?
It might be Jerflin. I got a novel, Dirty Job by Christopher Moore, and that's for Griffin. I don't know what Griffin got a present, but probably because he sent us other things. He sent me a copy of a book called The Wind-Up Girl and sent Travis Jim Butcher's Side Jobs.
Ooh,
stories from the Dresden Files.
Good choice.
Excellent choice. We also got a ghost meter EMF sensor from Alan Black.
Holy shit.
Christmas been playing a lot with that.
Spooktacular.
And Nico Jarima sent us a copy of Captain Underpants and the Wrath of the Wicked Wedgie Woman.
Nice.
So do appreciate that. And we got a so much more. I tell you about the wedding we're invited to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spill the beans on that.
That's in Chi-Town, right?
That's in Chi-Town.
Let me know the date. Let me know the venue.
I respectfully told them we wouldn't be able to make it, but I did send them a very nice set of drinking glasses, and also I believe a
did you really
a peeler? So
This is the nicest fucking podcast ever.
It's basically everybody loves everybody on the show. But thank you so much for those birthday presents from everybody. I haven't been to the post office in a little while, so if you sent one recently, I'm sorry that we did not receive it yet. We're part of the Maximum Fun Network, and they have a ton of shows that you will really enjoy. There's Risk. There's Throwing Shade, Judge John Hodge and Jordan Jesse Go. Bullseye is one of the best interview shows ever, and you could be listening to it for free right now if you wanted to on MaximumFun.org. So go there and check out all the programming they've got on offer.
Next time you're about to buy some shit to keep yourself entertained, next time you're about to buy yourself a trifle, just think of, or a rifle.
Or a
just
trident.
Think about, or a trident. Thank you, Travis. Justin, do you want to chime in, or should I just keep going?
No, go for it.
I just think about all the free shit that you can get on MaximumFun.org. There are thousands of hours of shit for you to listen to.
Thank you to everyone who tweeted about the show. DChrist0921, Useless Click, Geeky Lindsay, Hallways, Iggy K, Dirk in it, Green Cardigan 5, Sam Brasanti, S. Diesel, everybody who's sharing the show. If you can, just tell a friend. Adam J. Ford, Little Socrates, or is that Socrates? Thank you to you guys. You're what helped us to grow the show, so we really, really appreciate it.
Please tell some friends if you can, if you get a chance. Burn our shit onto a CD, give it to a friend. Pick your favorite 1 hour episode, burn it onto a 1 hour disc, give it to somebody as the ultimate gift, or give them a jump drive. That would be a great present for whatever holiday you celebrate. Just get a jump drive, fill that bitch.
Did you know that you can get one of two different styles of My Brother and Me shirts? They're all at Max Fun Store, and you can just get them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just get them.
I also want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. I cannot wait for that Fool's Holiday album to drop. Can't wait. It's
going
to be
wait.
So good. So yeah, thank you so much, everybody. Can't wait for Candlelights. Candlelights coming up so fast. Are you guys ready?
No. Yeah, our always underwhelming holiday episode. Be sure to catch that. Don't want to miss that.
Have you guys trimmed the whatever it is that you trim for Candlelights?
The bush?
I think there's a bush.
Oh, no, Travis means his own bush. Hey, Griff, did you have another question? One last one to send us off on?
Yeah, I could. I could do that for you. This finally Yahoo was,
a little bit. Let's do it.
It was sent in by Nolan Hitchcock. Thank you, Nolan. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jessica, who asks, is it bad to give my 6-year-old baby a little French onion dip?
Justin McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.